from Anshe Svar Beth El Emeth Congregation. It's time to take 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
Welcome to our discussion of B'chukotai, the ultimate rebuke. Parashat B'chukotai, we have Im B'chukotai Tilechu, the idea that if you keep the commandments, there'll be good things. And then there's about 10 verses describing good things that will ensue. Good economically and good relationally with God, with Lord our God, with the Shekhinah, we'll have divine presence. We'll walk with God proudly, together with God, in a sense of presence of God all the time. If, however, we don't, then there'll be terrible things that will happen nationally, personally. And horrific things are described, and this is 30 verses. So there's a lot more verses of negative things that will happen if you don't follow the commandments, as opposed to positive things. The outset of the negative things, there's a sort of a proliferation of terms, but they're not clear. It says, if you don't listen to me, okay, that's clear. What would that be? The commandments, I guess. And you don't do the commandments. Well, it's the same thing as not listening. If you despise my commandments, you don't listen, you don't do them, you're despising. If you become horrified, personally disgusted by the commandments, it's a different degree, but it's the same idea. To not do all the mitzvot. That's what we said. You don't listen to the mitzvot. To annul my covenant. To go against the covenant. But that's what it's talking about. You don't go against, if you don't follow the commandments, you're not following the covenant. So all these expressions are somewhat superfluous. Obviously each one is a little different, but what does it exactly convey? So there's a famous midrash on Vayikra. It's called Sifra, the book. Because Vayikra is one of the main books of the Torah. So the midrash on it is called the book, Sifra. In the Sifra, as explained by Rashi, they explain that really there are seven levels that are described here. What's the significance of seven? Because later on it says, if you walk with me disrespectfully, you don't follow my commandments, I'll give you seven plagues against your sins. Rashi says, seven sins, seven plagues. So he believes that what's described here is not simply seven expressions, but seven separate sins. And they're all in order. This is what I'm about to share with you, this great rebuke, is something that one time I was running a beginner's service in New York, and someone was about to describe all these seven sins. And as he began to describe it, I felt that it was so spot on that I was worried that these beginners and this beginner's minion would be turned off by all this explicit rebuke that he would give. So I actually stopped the fellow in the middle of his speech. I said, please don't continue. And he was very upset and what? And then years later, I realized that it's a very important rebuke. It's a very big rebuke, but it's an important rebuke. And let's listen to it and let's take it to heart, each one of us. I once said it over on Yom Kippur, and people realized that it's spot on. Im lo tishmu li, if you don't listen to me. So Rashi says, not to listen as in doing, that's later. Not to listen, not to learn. The first sin is we don't learn. So we say, oh, Judaism is silly. Why? Because this seems silly. Well, did you ever look into it? Well, a little bit. Went to a class once. There are people who spend their whole life studying Judaism, understanding it, not only understanding what it says, but at a deeper level, what does it represent? How do you categorize it? How do you analyze it? My sons are involved with Rosenzweig. Every law he explains in a way that explains everything in a very deep kind of way. Do we take the time to take a deep dive into our Jewish education for our children, for ourselves, learning as much as we can? If we don't, do we have the humility to know that we don't know? That's question number one. And it says, v'lo ta'asu, and you don't do. So if you don't know, you don't do. There are many laws of Shabbat, for instance, many laws of Kashrut, that if we don't know them, we don't do them. Not out of any rebellion, but we just don't know. Right? So that's the second level. First, we don't learn. We don't have the proper education. We don't give a proper education to others. And then we don't do. Then it says, "V'mikrotayti masu," you despise the mitzvot. So Rashi says that you don't let others do it either. You say to somebody, ketchup fell on your tie on Shabbos. Well, you're not allowed to wash your tie on Shabbos. She said, "Oh, you're not washing your tie on Shabbos. That's so disgusting. That's ridiculous." Right? I never heard of it. So then if he does it, it must be ridiculous because I never heard of it because I didn't take the time to learn. So if he does it, he must be ridiculous. So all those who do those things, they're ridiculous. In other words, instead of saying, "Look, I wish I knew more. That fellow, he took the time to learn. He came from a home where he learned. He knows. Maybe I should learn what he knows." Instead, sometimes we say, "Oh, that guy is being ridiculous." Then it goes on. It says, "If you despise my commandments," not just limas is limasly disgusting. Giul is even deeper. It's like really disgusting. What's that? You reject sinat chachamim. There's a certain level at which we reach. We hate the rabbis. Oh, those rabbis. If only we get rid of the rabbis, then you know everything would be great. Rabbis, they're the ones who cause all these troubles. You have a certain despising of the rabbi. Now, most people I know don't despise rabbis as a whole. They like the rabbi. But they despise the notion that somehow he knows and that he could somehow guide their lives. They just begin to despise the message of the rabbi, if not the rabbi himself. Rabbi Akiva said when he was a heathen, before he became absorbed in Torah in that magnificent way that he was, if he saw a Talmud Chacham, a scholar, he wanted to rip him to shreds. There comes a point where the anger becomes directed towards the rabbinic authority and the rabbinic tradition. They don't do all the mitzvot. What does that mean? So he says, to prevent others from doing. There are actually people who sometimes they see someone who's doing the right thing, they'll actually try to prevent them. Occasionally you hear a story of someone who intentionally forced someone to eat something not kosher. He tricked them into eating something not kosher. Intentionally tried to force someone to violate Shabbos. Intentionally try to force someone to talk Lashon Hara or to say bad words or to see something they shouldn't see. Specifically to try to trip up those who were more pious. I believe it's Amos who says that you didn't want to have any prophets. So what do? They took a Nazirite who wanted to be extra pious. He didn't want to have any wine, and they make him drink wine. He says, and they tell the prophets, "Don't prophesy." There is such an inclination that not only do I not want to be pious, to make sure no one else should do it either. Then it says, "Kol mitzvotai the mitzvot." He says, at some point you begin to say, "The Torah, the mitzvahs are not true." Now, it's first you didn't begin to even look into the Torah, and then you didn't do it. So then you don't do it. You didn't learn it. So you begin to be detached from it. After all, in the end, you say, "The whole thing is just silly. There's no Torah. There's no God. There's no mitzvot." But before you say there's no God, that's the last step. Last one, "Lafachem repiti," to annul my covenant. Not annul, but to breach the covenant. What does that mean? To claim that there is no God. Kofer b'ikar, the basic denial of the most basic element of God himself. It all starts with the lack of learning. It ends with the denial of God himself. Of course, there are people. It's not always exact formula, like all, you know, the stages of grief, the stages of the human development, they're not always linear. Sometimes you start with stage one and stage three and stage seven, and it goes in and out. Some people start with stage seven at the beginning. But one can't deny that elements of these things are present in each one of us. Each one of us, even at our own level. Sometimes you're very religious. But if someone, God forbid, does something more religious, you not only are against it, you hate it. You hate that person for doing it. It's terrible. They're so strict. They do X, Y, and Z. Let them be strict. What does it bother you? No. It shouldn't. So you shouldn't feel bad about not doing that. Oh, it's terrible. They wash Negelwasser. It's terrible. They spend 3 hours on the Shemun Esrei. It's terrible. They learn so much Torah. We're all guilty at our own level of doing these things. He said, learning, oh, I'm very learned. Yeah, but you can learn more. You can learn better. You can learn more analytically. You can learn more deeply. You can learn more philosophically. Learn in a way that could be more appropriate and could be shared with others. You do. He said, yeah, but you do, but you can do more. You help other people get more literacy. Yeah, but you don't want certain people to do certain things. You don't support certain yeshivas. It goes on and on. Each one of us are guilty of these seven sins at various stages of our life. You have to watch out for that. You have to guard that. That's the great rebuke. The great rebuke is right here in this parsha. It's not necessarily all the punishments that God promises that he's going to heap on us. The great rebuke is, are we not sometimes guilty of these seven sins? God willing, we should avoid these seven sins. And on the contrary, we should learn, we should do, we should be happy if others do. We should affirm the godliness of the Torah, we should affirm God himself, Shema Yisrael, Shema Kino, Shema Chad, affirm daily his existence, his fact that he's our God. If we do this, hopefully instead of seven sins and the seven punishments, God willing, we'll be blessed sevenfold for the good things that God will do to us. Hu Heitiv, Hu Meitiv, Hu Yeitiv Lanu. He's good. God is good. And Mirta Hashem, Hu Yeitiv Lanu. He'll do good for us. As it says in our parsha, Atatigish Michem Vitam, At Naharetz Priya, Eitz Zedei Temperio. The land will flourish, and we individually and collectively, will be blessed by the blessings of God in the land of Israel. Thank you for joining us here at the Yonti Shvar Beth Lameth Congregation for a discussion of the parsha. Join us each week for a discussion of the parsha on the holidays. And thanks to Jason Lefkowitz, our producer. Thank you.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein. To learn more, visit asby.org.